Well, I'm excited about this morning. Young, come on up, and I'll hand the mic over to you. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Chuck, Brother Chuck. Thank the Lord. I was sharing with Michael, I love spring and fall. Because spring, winter finally over, fall, you can look forward to harvest, right? So how many of you love spring and fall? Or just maybe summer lovers here, maybe summer? Oh, yeah, our Nigerian brother, he loves summer. Did you know I've seen like a weekend, was it a few days ago or last weekend? It was 20-something, close to 20, I think it was like 18. My family were driving through, was it Walkley and Maryville? And I saw this person wearing a winter jacket and walking by. Apparently to that person, it was cold. So it's all relative, the temperature is all relative, right? So I had this honor and privilege to share a topic on the Holy Spirit specifically. It's really, really wide and really broad and really deep. And it can be complicated and simple at the same time. But I am going to be sharing the Holy Spirit and His gifts because we are going into, what's next week? Some of you know this. Yes, Pentecost Sunday next week. And believe it or not, Pentecost Sunday, that coming of the Holy Spirit with power is continuous. That's why when we read Book of Acts, it does not have a closing chapter because we're continuing the work of Jesus Christ by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is in us. And I get the privilege to share the 4 week of this incredible revelation that we all have within us, and I'm hoping that the Lord will unearth it for all of us. So I'll be talking about, okay, let's see, let me arrange this. I don't want to constantly turn back. There we go. This week I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Week two, we're going to go over, okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the whole thing started in Book of Acts chapter 2. Jesus said in chapter 1, wait for the power to come upon you to the, what, to brothers and sisters, to disciples in Christ. They were already believers, but Jesus told them to wait until you receive the power. I believe, it is my conviction, that's what separates, obviously, Jesus Christ, the redemptive work of the Lord, is another thing that separates from old covenant to the new is the indwelling presence and a power of the Holy Spirit to continue as the entire collective body, not individually, continue the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's go with the next one. Next one is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to give you little tidbits. There is a personal gift and a corporate gift that is for personal, for me, and gift that is for others, corporate. So I just want to talk about that a little bit there. Also, week four. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So why am I talking about all these things? What's the big deal, Young? Some of you have been maybe following some charismatic exposure and things like that. I like to admit that I am still part of the continuous movement in the body of Christ, where we believe the Holy Spirit continue to do things and operate and live out in us as the way in the times of Jesus Christ. He never stopped manifesting, being with us, living, because sometimes man dictates, he doesn't. I believe that is ongoing. And I believe the current exposure of all these different leadership and different culture is because not God is throwing that away. No, that's not the case. He wants to purify us. So the next move, which is already happening throughout the world, next move of God, which involves the Holy Spirit yet again, will be founded on, will be established on the proper culture. So I believe one of the main reasons why modern-day prophetic movement and all these things are exposed is not because the Holy Spirit was not there. It's because all those things were built on a wrong covenant and recklessness. based on a wrong covenant. What do I mean by wrong covenant? Wrong covenant, thou shalt not touch the anointed. Where is that from? The old covenant. Why is that only applying to the old covenant? Because right now we're all anointed, first and foremost. Second thing is, thou shalt not touch the anointed, was for the mediators in the old covenant. What do I mean by that mediator? Between God and a man, there had to be mediator in the old covenant that speaks for God, and they're the mouthpiece and representation of God himself. That's why they were different people than regular people, because they're facing God. One of the examples is Moses, right? Moses was the mediator, and the what? Judges were the mediator, and some of the kings were like David. And there were other prophets that was mediator. But reading that now in the new covenant, we have the greatest mediator ever. Who is that? Amen. Jesus is the greatest mediator between man and God. And we cannot and should not have any more mediator. We don't have any special people. We have a different function according to the calling made by God himself. We function differently. We have different offices, and we honor that, yes. But they're not different. We're not different. Nobody is special. Nobody is the mediator. So we somehow marry that old covenantal culture, brought it into the new covenantal culture, and we mix that up. And we have so many mixtures in the body of Christ. That's why that created the culture of honor and all these different kind of things, brought into the new covenant body. And it actually corrupted the body, not the spirit, though. So we have to begin to understand the spirit of God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's God. So from that, we created this recklessness. What do I mean by recklessness? People had no accountability. We had no relationship with other leadership to be accountable for the prophetic word that was released. Yes, I still believe in prophets, but not many. I don't believe that everybody is a prophet. I don't believe that. God does not operate that way. Some are still called to be modern-day prophets, yes, but that's not a common thing. Can we all prophesy all the time? No, that's not how gifts operate. I'll explain that a little more. Okay, those things are different. Going back, recklessness, because we had no relational oversight. And all these people that are coming out, because they have no relational accountability or oversight. And I believe that we need to be bold and courageous. We cannot shrink back because we see some people are reckless under the leadership. Well, not really. Under their soul being reckless in the name of Jesus Christ, we should not go back. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us spirit of timidity, fear, but of power and love and discipline. When we shrink back in fear of making mistakes, in fear of doing things over, it's not okay. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously to be bold and courageous. One of the prominent signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not the baptism and praying the tongue. It is being bold in the Lord. Yes, praying in the tongue happens. What I'm saying is this. Being bold and courageous in God is one of the prominent signs. And that was the sign that was kept within the first century church. And they were ready to lay down their lives because they're bold with the power and the presence of God. So how do we facilitate or kind of reset? We don't want to restart everything, but how do we reset? Because this community, WOCC, is founded upon the relationship with the Lord, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and was not shy about manifesting the Holy Spirit, was not shy about fivefold ministry or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So how do we reset? We need to reset by understanding the different covenant within the body of Christ. Two major covenants. There are some minor covenants. Two major covenants are old and new. We need to understand new covenant, redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Second, we need harness. We need safety harness. Right? When you jump off the bungee jump, let's just call it bungee jump from high. Nobody would jump off without safety harness. But whatever happened, so many people jumped off without the safety harness. So first one, I believe, is relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we call, Michael kind of mentioned that, we call that practicing the presence of God through His Word, by prayer, and all the worship and meditation, all those different things. That is the first safety harness. I believe the second one is fellowship, relationship with one another, community. You need accountability. You need community. Third one, some people may or may not agree. Third one, I believe, is praying in the Holy Spirit. You need to pray for the things that you do not understand, things that is coming, things that is the unknown. And that can be only done through the praying in the Holy Spirit. I'll expand on that a little more. So why don't we just pray? Father, we thank you for the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we qualify because of Jesus. Father, we are greatly aware of the reality that we can never, ever have perfect theology or doctrine. Pharisees thought they did, and they persecuted Jesus, no matter the power and the manifestation of God was present. Father, we need to have sound doctrine with the evidence of the presence and the love of God to touch ourselves by your Spirit and touch others through us. Father, open our hearts today. Whatever you desire to do, let it be done. If the veils need to be unveiled, let it be done. If the walls need to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. If something to be reaffirmed, let it be done. Father, use me as an instrument of righteousness to manifest your kingdom and to share your kingdom. And let us all be partaker of his kingdom today. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Question for you guys. We know Jesus Christ is a gift from Father God to the world, right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, I gave you an answer already. Okay, sorry about that. I got excited. So the Holy Spirit is what? Gift from God to Jesus' disciples. That's us. Okay, let's read that. Let's read the verses. Okay. It says in John 14, 16 through 17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides or remained with you and will be in you. Okay, let's read the next one together. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Amen. Amen. So Holy Spirit is promised gift spoken by Jesus Christ, but is given by the Father God. I know there are many other talks that are out there about Holy Spirit, and some of us probably thought the Holy Spirit was, you know, the energy. Holy Spirit is the power of God. Holy Spirit is all these different kind of instrument or the tool, and he doesn't need to be worshipped because, I heard that, he does not need to be worshipped because he's God, but doesn't need to be worshipped. It's kind of weird, but I believe Holy Spirit, first and foremost, is equal God. He is God. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he is God, but functions differently? Different function, just like Jesus had a different function, but he's equal God. Amen. It's okay to say amen. 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 Let's read that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. somehow we got two clickers going on from there, and there we go. Thank you. Amen. So Holy Spirit is God. He was there from the beginning, and he will continue to be here even after Jesus comes back. Whether we recognize his form, bodily form, is irrelevant. He is equal God, and he is in us right now. Do we believe that he's in us? In John 15, Jesus said on that day, my Father and myself and his Spirit will come and dwell, live within us. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit because of that. It is very, very important for us to understand this. Yes, he is our friend. According to some people, he is close, but he is nonetheless still God. Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, can be incredibly close to us, just like Father God, relationally, but we must remember that they are gods. One single God, sorry, not plural. Anyways, so let's move on to the next point. I just want to lay this down before we go into the baptism and all the rest. He is a helper. In some translation, it is called comforter. Some of you know the King James Version. Maybe you study those. I love King James because very poetic. And I used to read King James all the time. Now I'm reading NASB, which this is from. But he is the helper and comforter. And Jesus Christ said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So he helps us in the times of need. He does not grant wishes like a genie. We're not the Lord. He is God, and he helps us. He is limited. I know some of you don't like to hear that. He is limited within the boundary that he established himself to do only good. Let me repeat this. He himself limited himself to do only good. That's why we can trust God. Whatever he does is good and perfect. So anything that we see God does, anything that he has done, even though we may or may not understand within our context of our cultural understanding, it is good nonetheless from an eternal perspective. If he changes all the time, can we trust God? Even if it seems good in his changing, can we trust God? No. He's good and perfect. Perfect means there are no flaws, which means that he will never, ever, ever change his mind. I'm going to talk about a little bit on this. There's a great turning of traditional denominations that are out there. Presbyterians, some of the Calvinists. I'm part of those. I'm fourth generation Presbyterian. I'm not part of that anymore. But Calvinists and many traditional doctrine, now they're accepting the social norm of gender identity and all these different things because they don't fully understand eternal perspective of God, and they believe some of the human perspective. When Abraham and a few other things were dealing with the Lord, they believe God has repented, changed his mind. Therefore, he is continuing to do so, and now he has accepted the social norm because he has repented or changed his mind. This is very dangerous doctrine. This is very dangerous. And we need to understand God is same yesterday and today and forever. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us from that perspective. He comforts us from that perspective. Let me repeat this. From yesterday, today, and forever, God does not change. He's the same. He has no shadow of turning. He's the pure light and goodness. From that perspective, he helps us and comforts us. Why is that important? Because a lot of times, I mean, like you and I don't even know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, right? Our brother Joshua could stand up and prophesy in 5 minutes, but I wouldn't know that from anything else, right? Nobody would know that, but Holy Spirit knows that, and God does not scramble to prepare something that he did not know just to make it happen, which means whatever delay that we think God is doing, is that a delay? No. Why? Because he's not scrambling heavenly resources just to make sure he makes it in time. Jesus suddenly did not decide to be crucified when he came to the earth. According to the minds and the heart of the Father, Jesus was crucified, according to the book of Ephesians, what? Before the foundation of the world. Everything in the God's perspective is already done. From his perspective, I'm not saying us, is already accomplished. So we can rest assured when he helps, that's the way we should accept that. Why am I saying it? Well, you know, some of you know that my wife and I had multiple businesses, and one of the businesses that we had was food production business. We had, you know, contract with one of the local grocer, and we started with one location, and they liked what we did. And within 3 months, they wanted us to take over 6 more locations. So what does that mean? That means we need to build kiosks within each store, and we need to train and mend the kiosk by our employees. And we did that. We held the business for 4 years. But around year mark, I mean, we were being unjustly slandered and persecuted. And some of our Christian brothers and sisters who we hired left one of the stores twice. And when they were doing it, Sunny was stepping in to train, and she was burning with the on either side of the candle to fill in the gap. Because some of you know it takes a while to train somebody to make certain kind of food. And one of the main sources of our production was Japanese sushi. And that requires a lot of skills for you to make. And she was incredible teacher, but it took a lot longer for her to train all these people. And while she was doing it, we invited some of the speakers. We were doing all these kind of different meetings at our house and at the church. While we were expanding, we had a home church, and I was interning at the local church. So we're just young and crazy, doing a whole bunch of different things all at the same time. And while we're doing that, she burned out, obviously. And her physically, she had degenerative disc disease and arthritis in her back. And L1 and L2 disc was gone. And they were saying, well, you have back of the 80-year-olds. And she could not. So I felt led by the Lord to make her stop working 2 year in, while we still operated for 2 more years. And when she finally stopped working, she could not walk for at least 6 months properly. And every time she would get out of the bed, she would have to crawl for hours until she get the feeling back from her back. It was very, very, very challenging time. And she was in such a pain, and she would not take any special medication or anything, because they were not sure what to do with it. And we still don't have proper medication or medical help to restore all that. But when you see her right now, she looks fine, right? So I'm going to talk about what happened. So as she was continuing to serve God, as I was continuing to, you know, minister at a church, she was just crying out to the Lord on a daily basis. She was crying out. She was praying for hours. She was, you know, contemplating, arguing with God for what's happening, Lord. I did all this to serve you. You led us to start this business. But why am I still sick? And while she was still recovering very, very slowly, but she was still greatly disabled in her back, one day God told her, sign up to Good Life. And she said, what? This is nonsense. I want healing. I want healing right now. I want to walk. And God was begin to say, sign up to Good Life. And she said, this can't be God. I cannot even exercise. How am I going to go to Good Life? But God spoke to her again. And she said, okay, I got to trust this has to be the Lord, because devil will never let me go to gym. So she went to gym for 6 months. She would cry. She would cry. She would do RPM, right? She could only do cycles. So she would do bicycle, like there's a program, there's a leader that does things, and you follow that RPM, and she did it. She said, people probably thought I was sweating for like 6 months, but I was crying for 6 months every time I go to gym. God was touching my emotion. I was having pity on myself. She was going through all these different things. She was breaking and God was touching her. Within about 6 months, she was able to ride with her back straight. And within about a couple of years, she was able to have a normalcy back into her life. So we know that Holy Spirit does help, but the help may not come in the format of our own understanding always, even in the terms of healing. Think about it. We see healing. Let's just talk about healing a little bit. We see healing. I was purist. I would not let any medication touch me or my family. But it came at the cost of my son dying. I'll talk about that later, in later message. But in healing, we know that God uses people and his power to heal people, right? We believe that Jesus did that. But why do we always stop there? What if God uses doctor? Doctors are still people. So why can't God operate through people? What about good medication? I'm not talking about the medication with horrible side effects, but what about medication that actually heals people? Not perpetuate your current condition, but actually heals your people. I used to rebuke that. Did you know? Can you believe I rebuked that? I said, that's not of the Lord. You cannot trust the science or rely on people's wrong mindset and be free from? No. Okay, let me add one more thing. What about emotional wound? Why do we, some of us, only believe that it will happen by the presence of God, period? Why not saw the Christian councils? So I'm hoping that we should broaden our understanding. So he is the helper. He helps in times of need all the time, the way he called us to be helped. Amen? Let's move on to next. He's teacher. Does not mean that we only receive teaching from Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father God, period. Me and the triune God. I used to think like that, but I realized, what about all the apostles and other people in the new covenant that actually wrote all these different revelations? How would we know the teachings of Jesus without them? What about what Jesus said? Go and make disciples of the nations. Skip. Teach them to obey all that I have taught you. That is for us. So I believe that Holy Spirit teaches, but oftentimes at the beginning of our journey, let me quote that, beginning, right? Oftentimes, beginning of our journey, there are leaders in the body of Christ that we are supposed to walk together to receive, to understand the teachings of Jesus. And we call that what? Discipleship. I believe discipleship is not only one time, but it's ongoing throughout our lives. Ongoing. It's not just once. Some of you think that you read the Bible back and forth 100 times and you're done. No, Bible is the book that is supposed to be read by the filter of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us understanding on a daily basis and is supposed to be fresh. The reason it becomes stale is because we already have a preconceived idea on what the verse has to be, period, and do not have any room for any correction or any insight from the Holy Spirit. That's why having a perfect doctrine is dangerous. Let me rephrase that. Perfect. I didn't say sound doctrine. I said perfect doctrine is dangerous. Perfect means what? Nothing can be added anymore. Perfect. That's what perfect is, right? Do we agree? Do we agree perfect means that you don't need to add anything anymore? So our pursuit is never a perfect doctrine. Our pursuit is a sound doctrine. Amen? So when Holy Spirit teaches, we need to be open. We need to read the scripture with open heart. Whatever the Lord wants to say through that, we need to be open to that. We always need to make sure that we don't go to God with the perceived understanding or perceived idea on what this verse needs to be, period. But we go to God with open heart and continue to practice on how to receive from him fresh daily bread. One of the things that it took me a while to overcome, because I did have a formal teaching on a multiple different denominational background, was for me to sit down and hear preaching without dissecting it in my mind right away. I believe it's good to write it down, yes, like a Bereans. I believe that we need to be open to write down and go back home and bring it before the Lord in the scripture and also through his spirit. We shouldn't be closed right away from the beginning. I already know that. I know this. Come on, I grew up in a church. My mom was in singing hymns when I was in a room, so I was really aware of the church culture. I have heard everything from, and I've been part of it, like almost all the major move of God, Word of Faith, Catholic, Hyper Grace, Charismatics, Calvinist, and all the different things. I was exploring at one point. So I've heard almost different variants of all the same line that the different doctrinal teaching was teaching. But if I were to settle one way and I insisted that was the only way, I would have never come out of the wrong doctrines. And some of them are wrong and toxic. So we need to make sure that when Holy Spirit teaches, we need to be able to hear him. And we use this term all the time. What do we use? Humble and teachable, right? We use that all the time. And we need to make sure we do that. I'm not saying gullible. I'm saying teachable. So humble. I shared this before. What is biblical definition of being humble? Biblical definition of being humble is not a cultural nuance. Often in our culture, we think being humble is, oh, poor me. Oh, low. I'm humble. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm going to be just meek and kind in our cultural context. But how many of you know that Jesus did not look like or sound like anybody who was humble? He turned a table twice. Not once. Did you know he turned a table twice? Of the business people whose business was approved by the high priest. And they were making living out of that. And he turned their business and destroyed their livelihood of that day. He did that. Does that look like somebody who's humble according to the culture? No. I believe the biblical definition of being humble is total reliance and total dependence on God. And Jesus said, I only say and I only do what Father. Amen? Right? So that is what being teachable is. That is what being humble is. So we have to remember that every time we interact with the scripture or things of God, we have to ask the Holy Spirit if we don't understand. We don't use our senses or we don't use our intuition, but rather we ask. Don't forget, this is relationship, that we have a relationship with God, and relationship requires conversation. And anything, it is worth it for us to, Holy Spirit, what is this? What is going on, Lord? What is happening? Instead of, I don't like this. This is not of the Lord. We should not make the judgment right away, but rather we should take time to go before God on our own and ask the Lord and ask the elders and other people around us. Amen? All right, next. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Let's read this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Right now, we're in a culture where it is very, very, very hard to discern, according to our own perception, the truth. Whatever information that we are fed, it is based on the narrative of the person who's sharing that information. Even when we have a first-hand accounting of that event, when you have five people seeing the exact same event, you would have a differences of opinion on what has occurred. True? That's why when you go watch a movie, you would have 5 or 10 critics talking about how they perceive certain movie and what their taste is, and they would tell you whether movie is good or bad based on that. That's why knowing the truth is right now, I believe, it is impossible. If we think that we know the truth based on what we hear or see, we are already deceived. That is absolute. There's so many things that are happening in the world right now that none of us can keep up with the advancement of the technology. I know that some people, I forgot this, some people said, I think maybe it was like 20, 30 years ago, our knowledge was doubling every year or something. Right now, because of the advancement of the technology, I believe the knowledge of the world is probably doubling less than 6 months. I'm not talking about individual knowledge here. I am talking about global knowledge is doubling at least every half a year because of AI and everything. You know how crazy that is? How daunting the task for us to try to sift through not only all the accumulated knowledge and all the testing, all the science and everything, plus on top of that, there's a junk information, there's a misinformation, there's a junk science, all these different things. How are we supposed to know the truth? Don't give away the answer yet. It is impossible. Do you not agree? It's impossible. Not only is it impossible, it's giving some of us like a brain fog. I don't know when was last time I watched any movie that is like 2 hours. Can I be honest with you guys? Sometimes I spend more time going through the movies that I don't want to watch than actually watch the movie and give up at the end. And I watch nothing. I will spend like an hour trying to figure out what I like to watch. By the way, I don't watch movies all the time anymore. But, right? Do you relate to that? How do you relate to that? Yeah. It's paralysis of the choices. It's scientific fact. The more choice you have, the more you become paralyzed to the choice, daunting task of choosing. We have a Costco fan. I know a lot of us are Costco fans here. But rejoice, we have a solution, which is the truth. And God is the truth, and He is the Spirit of truth. And we don't have to worry about this and that. Whatever the area that you're called, this is it. If you have a relational connection with God on an ongoing basis, you can trust that He will reveal truth to you for an area. That's why we need to make sure that we don't get into the areas that is not our major calling and try to lead that area. This is very important. When the Spirit of truth comes, He says He will guide you into all truth. Imagine that. Let me read this again. The Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into some or all. All the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Can we make sure that we rest in the area that we don't know? Just leave it alone until we are led by the Lord, because we are unable to handle that. It's too much anyways. A lot of time I get in trouble. I'm hoping that you do too. That when I dip my feet into an area of the unknown, I love reading. I'm an avid reader. So when I try to get into an area of the unknown, you could spend hours or days or weeks chasing after the rabbit. That would lead you to nowhere. And at the end, did you know at the end, you retain almost nothing? True or not true? Yeah, at the end, you retain almost nothing. And you spend all this energy on nothing. Let me share what is the absolute truth. The absolute truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is absolute truth. Absolute truth is that all these prejudice and racism and all these different failures in the world and all the brokenness is due to the fall of man. And nobody can heal that unless they become born again. And we begin the journey of healing once we become born again. No amount of efforts, no amount of societal change. I'm not saying don't make changes. What I'm saying is this: no amount of societal change, no nothing of any human effort will last, period. And it's not supposed to last, because solution is God coming back. And another solution is us being here, sharing the good news, and inviting others into that truth. That's the only way. Let me share one more thing. We can pray and cry all we want about changing of this nation. And somebody can quote the verse in the Old Covenant about King Solomon's word that he received from God. If you repent, cry out and repent of your way, I will heal the land. That's conditional. And we don't have one person changing this Canada, because Canada is not theocracy anymore, or never was. Canada is not governed by kings. God allows the different system and different political things to permeate, because he's not hindered by that. Somehow we think he is, but he is not. Us, we are impeded by that a little bit. But God is never, ever, ever impeded or hindered by any political system. The only way to change the nation is the gospel and salvation. The only way to weaken the principality and the power is people being saved. The more people are saved, the weaker the power and the influence of the enemy will be. It's not through all the political leaders. They come and go. They come and go. Is it important somewhat? Yes. It's not the main thing. It is good for us to live in peace. It is good for us to vote for the right party, for us to thrive, yes. But that's never a priority. Our priority should always be having relationship with God and inviting other people into that. And for that, God always speaks loud. God always speaks continuously. Whatever he's silent on, we should just leave it alone. We should leave it alone. If he tells you to get into politics, yes, please do so. Yes, I'm not discouraging any of that. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, let's make the main thing, main thing. The reason God sent the Holy Spirit is for us to get into relationship like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I abide in God. God abides in me. That is done through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ set the captives free, healed the sick, raised the dead. That is through the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit more than ever. I don't care about having a nice service. I don't care about starting service at 10:30 and ending at 1. And no, maybe some of you don't like that. Having 10:30, ending at 12, you know, having nice lunch and all these things on time. That's not the main thing. Who cares? We have a nice service. Without the Holy Spirit, this is all rubbish. I'm sorry. This is all not nice. I almost said rubbish, but I said it. Come on. We're living in a day of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. Do you believe that we are to continue the work of Jesus Christ? How can that be without the Holy Spirit? How can that be without the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry for Holy Spirit? Do you desire Holy Spirit? Let us come out of this shell. There has been major, major shift in the body of Christ among the charismatic. Charismatics are not wrong in terms of the Holy Spirit. Yes, some of them, which I am part of, are wrong in terms of applying the wrong covenant, but we're not wrong about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the only solution that we have. Holy Spirit is what people need. This generation, our generation, coming generation, previous generation, whatever generation that we're in, we need Holy Spirit. You don't need some articulation of some nice preaching and all that. It'll be good to have it, but that's not absolutely necessary. What is absolutely necessary is the Holy Spirit. Without it, there's no life. Without it, we go thirsty. He is the river of living water that flows out. But did you know that he's also in you, and you are the source of that river? We carry life. We're not in a nursery. We're a family, just like Israelites, that works together, that engage in a war together. We're surrounded by the enemies. The spiritual enemy, not we don't war against the flesh and blood, but spiritual enemies are real. They're taking generations after generation after generation using the system and the lies of this world. And the only way to break it, like Paul, who had a perfect religion, was the encounter with the Spirit of God. That's the only way. Everybody has strong conviction. Everybody believe what they believe is right. Only way to shatter that is the Spirit of God. The fire of God to burn up all the iniquities. The river of God to quench all our thirst. The word of God to satisfy our soul. We need those. And we can no longer be passive. Why did I wear suit today? It symbolizes both death of the old and the marriage or celebration of the new. I don't usually wear suits. You've seen me before. I believe it's the death of the old, being afraid of manifesting the Holy Spirit. If we, I believe we do, if we have the right eldership and leadership, and if you are willing to be corrected, we need to be willing to step out in obedience to God. We need to be willing to step out in sharing the word of God. We need to be willing to step out in ministry to the other people. All that we cannot, because of the current exposure, we cannot shrink back. That's fear. In the safety of the counsel and fellowship and our willingness to be corrected and be teachable, I believe that we already have a foundation of the environment for us to step out in faith. And that requires a lot of risk. That's right. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Right? So I want to encourage you. I'm encouraging myself too. We need to come out of this shell. When we are in war, the last thing we want is fear of digging hole, going in deeper, entrenched. When we're in war, what we need is to be bold, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe we are ready for that. Amen? I believe we're ready for that more than ever. For the next 3 weeks, I am going to share what that will look like by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage all of us that you may or may not agree. That is okay. But I want to encourage all of us. The things that you don't understand, you don't agree, write it down, go before the Lord, search it in the scripture. Also, come to any of the leadership or any people that you're connected with. Ask them. I believe the time is at hand for Jesus to be glorified. Time is at hand for us to come out of this Christian bubble that we only associate with one another. We are living in the last of the last days. It is my prayer that we all become incredibly intimate with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your only begotten Son for the world to be reconciled back to you, to repent of our errors, to be restored, to become born again as the brand new creation that the world has not seen before. The body of Christ, walk in freedom, authority, and the power and the anointing through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would visit us. You would grant us your presence like we have never experienced before. Holy Spirit, we no longer want to go through the routine. And some of us love routine. We thrive in routine. But relationship is not like that. Relationship is not always routined. Holy Spirit, help us to break through this mold that we have created. And our interaction with you is very limited. Holy Spirit, if some of us have rejected you because it was not familiar, because we could not recognize you, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would begin to open our eyes. Like you did with Paul, open our eyes to the infinite ways that God will speak to us. Infinite way he will nudge in our heart. Infinite way he revealed himself to us. Reignite the passion that we have. Stir up the hunger and thirst that is in us, Holy Spirit. Help us no longer take what is normal in society, especially our culture of being lukewarm. Never, ever, ever be lukewarm. Help us to be on fire for you, God. No matter what that looks like for us individually, it may all look different, but nonetheless, help us to be on fire for you. Some of us, Lord, we ask that you restore our first love, that you rekindle our first love, that we fell into monotony, we fell into the old pattern, we fell into eating the stale bread over and over again, eating the same thing over and over again, regurgitating over and over again, staying behind our comfort zone, our safety bubble, only within that, only associating within that bubble. Father, help us to break out. Some of us don't see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit because we're only within the people that we know. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Father, you love us. You desire for us to be greater, intimate lover of God. We bless you. Father, we bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You love us so much. Help us to maximize the resources of heaven relationally in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.